Welcome to the Kingdom Life Church podcast. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Jamie Dixon. For more great content, visit klcmaine.com.
Why don't you guys open your Bibles to Mark 16. As we do that, Kristen, I'm going to have you come up now. It goes directly into my message really well. And how many of you guys know that when God is doing something, it says the testimony of Jesus is what? The spirit of prophecy, right? And when God does something, it's important for us to share testimony. Come here. They all see you. When God is doing something really profound, it's important that we're sharing testimonies and we're making it known. Why? Because it will actually release an impartation of faith for God to do it again. Because why? Because the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And so what begins to happen in the people around you should become the breakthrough for everybody around them. Right? And so I want you to just partner with Kristen right now in faith, because they had something really cool happen. And yeah, tell them.
Check one. Okay.
Hey.
Hi, I'm Kristen. I'm actually a part of the Bangor Life Group. So shout out to Nicole and Dylan. They're doing an awesome job. Something that really blew my mind happened a couple weeks ago. I know that you had shared a testimony, I think it was on the 5th or it was a Sunday, you shared where he had gone overseas, did like a healing teaching or like a ministry out there, and then you were asked at the end by one of the people attending to please come with me and pray for one of our leaders. They're on their deathbed, really sick, needed a miracle. So you ended up going, didn't know what to do except you just worshipped, basically. And they were, like, hurrying you, too. Like, you didn't have a lot of time. Anyway, long story short, that person got completely healed. So I know the full testimony is in that service. But anyway, I wasn't here for that. So the following Tuesday, Nicole shared that that testimony with our life group. So it was just amazing, just seeing, you know, the resurrection power and just like your worship. And I don't even think you prayed over the guy, you just like blessed his body with like the love of God. So anyway, heard that story. As part of my job, once a week I work at a pregnancy resource center. Sorry, I'm like shaking. I work at a pregnancy resource center. And so when I arrived, the secretary, Jody, was like, hey, our boss, her name's Penny, found out on Tuesday that her mom had been found unresponsive on the floor. She wasn't breathing. They called EMS. EMS did like chest compressions on her. They had to intubate her. Basically, they were believing that she was without oxygen for about 15 minutes. So, I mean, you have no like brain function after that. So anyway, she's telling me the story, and long story short, they were saying, so her mom, did I say, was like 70 or 80 years old, so she's older. And they were telling Penny, our boss, that she basically had a decision to make today. It was going to be to either take her off life support and let her die naturally, or keep her alive through the machines and just kind of see what happens. So I'm hearing this story. It's Wednesday. We heard the testimony on Tuesday. So I'm like, okay, I've got this testimony in the back of my head. And I'm like, you know what, Jody? I just want to like approach, let's just pray for a miracle. Because we pray in the morning before we start our day. And so I was like, if you're okay, I'm just going to come at it this angle. I'm just going to pray for a miracle, ask for healing. And so she's like, okay, you know, so we start praying. And I just did kind of just what was in the video. Like, you didn't know what to do except just worship. So I was just like, God, like, we just release your presence into that room, into her body. God, just the love of God would go into that room. Just release your angels. So just kind of praying in that sense, asking for a miracle and believing for a miracle. And then there were other prayers too that had been said, was kind of like, it was more of like a death prayer, like comfort the family after, and you know, and so it's just like, you're trying to just like, it's okay. Like, I know what you've said, God, and this is the testimony. We're releasing that over her. So anyway, the one day, like, so Wednesday ended, and then I went home, and I figured, you know, I would have gotten a text or something if a miracle had happened. Sadly, I was just kind of expecting, naturally, she probably passed. So a week later, I come in on Wednesday, and we're having kind of a little team time. We're about to pray. And someone was like, oh, by the way, Penny's mom was saying she wanted to go to rehab and everything. And I was like, wait, Penny's mom is alive? Like, yeah, like craziest thing ever. They're like, yes, she's alive. I'm sorry nobody texted you to let you know. But she but she had a miracle. And I was like, what? What happened? Yeah. Yeah. So long story short, on Tuesday was when they found her unresponsive. They had hooked her up to, you know, an intubator. They were breathing. She was having something, a machine breathe for her. She had a temporary pacemaker in to keep her heart, you know, rhythm going at an okay rate. We prayed on Wednesday. Wednesday was the time she was going to have to make the decision, but she decided, you know, I mean, we prayed. They ended up extubating her, taking the breathing tube out on Wednesday. She made it through the night, and then on Thursday, she was awake and talking. Yeah, so they moved her out of the ICU onto a regular, kind of like a recovery unit, and now she's home. But the crazy thing is, I had no idea that that testimony was like 6 years ago or something. Was it like years ago? Like, I had this idea, like, oh, this must have been before COVID. You know, he wasn't going overseas, or they just like went over and now they can't anymore. So I'm thinking, like, this is a fresh one. So I kind of had that in my head, but it was, I mean, it's just so good. Yeah, so resurrection life. Yeah, she's alive. So, yeah, all right.
Check, check. Ah. We're in this together, everybody. All right. So who wants to get just activated for more just faith, for like breakthrough in these areas? Come on, why don't you just pray over everybody? Okay. This is the testimony of Jesus, the spirit of prophecy.
Yeah.
It was on the life of an old testimony that breakthrough happened. Just receive right now that God would begin to open doors and begin to activate you for faith in this stuff. Come on.
Yes, God. Thank you that you're the God of miracles, Lord. We sang that this morning, Lord. Thank you so much, God, for just the testimony of the spirit of prophecy, God. Lord, what happens, God, when we release the stories, God, angels are already on assignment to fulfill the next one and the next one and the next one, God. So I just pray right now, Lord, that our faith would arise, God. It's already available, Lord, these miracles, signs, and wonders, God. So I just pray in Jesus' name for resurrection life, God, that we would just begin to pray that way, God, just believing because we've heard the stories, we've seen you do it, God, and you're going to do it again. So I just pray that over each person here, God, that you would give them the faith, Lord, to step out and say, no, I'm going to claim this one for life. It doesn't matter how old they are. God, that you are a good father, Lord, and that's what Jesus came to bring, was life and life abundant. Lord, so I just bless that. I release that testimony, God, that let it go accomplish even more, God. I pray for healings, signs, and wonders, Lord, because that's what we were destined to do. That's what we were called to do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Come on. Come on. That's awesome, right? Man, that should be a normal testimony for Sunday morning, right? Mark chapter 16, are you guys there? A few of you are. You guys there? All right, let me start off by saying this. I want it to be really clear what the agenda of this message is today. Are you ready? I think it's rare for a pastor to go, I have an agenda. Here's my agenda. My agenda is that I want to see a generation come to know Jesus and never walk away. Listen, I know it's like a trend right now to deconstruct your faith. And I want to see a generation walk with Jesus more wildly than their parents and never walk away. And so I want to, this is something that I've grieved over way too much. But I really feel like this message is kind of, listen, it might be preaching to the choir. It might feel like beating a dead horse. But listen, God wants to activate and do something in us today. And I just feel like it's been through both morning services, God saying something. And I really feel like he's going to do it this morning. You know, there was, anybody remember Billy Graham on TV doing crusades? Yeah, you do. 80s and 90s. Profound gatherings, right? Billy Graham is one of the greatest heroes of the faith to ever walk the earth. Did you know that they statistically have pulled the data together and they have found only 2% of the people that responded to the call for salvation, only 2% are currently walking with the Lord, right? Anybody ever heard of Charles Finney? Charles Finney also had awakenings and revivals that were massive gatherings. And Charles Finney, they, after all the data has been collected and they trace like people that were part of those stories and those meetings, 90% of the people that Charles Finney led to the Lord remained walking with Jesus. I want to see a generation come to know the Lord and never walk away. But it actually transforms education, society. It changes politics because the multitudes are coming to Jesus and never walking away or getting hindered or troubled by their life experiences. Mark 16, one more time. Are you there? Before I read it. So I'm luring you along. Stay there. Just keep your finger on it, okay? Can we all agree on something? That Matthew chapter 1, Mark, Luke, and John, the synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and then John, the fourth gospel. Can we all agree in this? That the gospels of Jesus Christ are our standard. That they are the standard and they are the expectation of the life of a New Testament believer. Can we all just agree they are the precedents? Jesus says, when you've seen me, you have seen the Father, that he became the image of the invisible God, and that through his life and death, he broke the barrier to bring us into union with the very experience that Jesus was modeling before us. The Gospels are the standard, the expectation, and they are the precedence of the life of a New Testament believer. Can we all agree on this? Mark 16, verse 15. Jesus, we're not just talking about Jesus one day around a campfire. Jesus has died and rose again. He is sitting there as a resurrected being with his disciples. He starts off by rebuking them for not believing all the reports that he was alive. And then he begins to talk to them and he says this in verse 15. And he says to them, "Now go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons, they will speak with tongues, and they will take up serpents, and they will drink anything deadly. It will by no means harm them, and they will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover." As a demonstration, I've brought some rattlesnakes this morning. Just kidding. I have a secret desire that one day I want to try it, but it's neither here nor there. In Mark 16, Jesus speaks to me. He says, "Now go and preach the gospel to everybody." And then he goes, "And those who believe will be saved." Can we all agree, if you confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, invite him into your heart, that you have received salvation, will spend eternity with the Father? We all agree. Can we all agree that the Gospels are our standard? Jesus says, "And these are the signs that will follow those who preach." No. He says, "These are the signs that will follow those who believe. They will cast out demons, lay hands on the sick, they will recover, they will speak in tongues, and they will handle deadly things," right? Jesus says that just as much as salvation is a mark of belief, that signs, wonders, and miracles are a mark of belief in Jesus Christ. How is it that the Gospels, and we all agree the Gospels are our standard, and you cannot turn a page without Jesus validating the gospel of the kingdom without a sign, wonder, and a miracle? And if it's our standard, how is it that we have so far removed ourselves as an American church from the miraculous that we've now preached it as something seldom experienced and that is outside of our control and is something that only few will ever experience, and they are great things to write down when they happen, where it actually says at the end of John that if Jesus performed all these miracles, he goes, if every miracle that Jesus performed was written down into a book, there's not a book on the earth that could actually contain it all. how did we get here? How did we get here? I'll use an analogy I've used before. Once I told you I'm preaching to the choir. Just hang in with me. This is an analogy I've used before, is that sometimes, you know, as a pastor, I work with a lot of people that are struggling in their marriage, right? And they go and say, hey, pastor, can we have a meeting with you? I go, of course. We get together in my office. She sits down here. He sits over here. And I go, oh, you guys don't want to start an orphanage or anything. You guys are in trouble, right? It's obvious. It's all in their body language, the way they're sitting and everything, right? And I go, guys, what's wrong? It always comes down to this. By the time they're in my office, they have decided we are not in love anymore. And my question then is, how did we get here? And the story goes the same every single time. You ready? The story goes like this. Well, he did this, or she did this, and then I said this, or she said that, and then it happened again, and trust was broken, and it was this reoccurring cycle of my brokenness and my inability to do something. All of a sudden, it caused distance to get created, because after a cycle of brokenness, and after the repeated trust being broken, after repeated forms of disappointment, you're either going to be disappointed or you're going to be in love, but they can't coexist. One is going to win. And by the time they're in my office, disappointment has won, because they're aware of what they aren't, and they have no idea who they are anymore. Love and disappointment are sitting in the room. One's going to win. And by the time they're in my office, it's always disappointment. And why? Disappointment has caused a separation. How did we get here? By repeatedly seeing the lack and not being able to believe the best. Does that make sense? So here I am. We're reading a supernatural God supernaturally comes to the earth by placing his seed in a woman. And Jesus, the Son of God, walks with man. And as he walks with man, he performs signs, wonders, and miracles. He then teaches the disciples to do the same. And the disciples follow him, and signs, wonders, and miracles are always demonstrated in the presence of the preaching of the gospel. The dead were raised, the sick were healed, lepers were cleansed, and then he died and took away the sins of our world, was supernaturally raised again. He then, it says in Matthew, it says that when Jesus died, that the old saints of the Bible that were buried started resurrecting and appearing all over the city to say, Jesus is coming. And people started having encounters with the old saints. It's like one sentence, but it's there. And then Jesus starts appearing to the point where they're putting their fingers in the holes of his side. And he gives them a gospel message to preach and calls them out of their shame and says, go and build the church. And they go to build the church. And then a supernatural wind manifests. And tongues of fire appear in their head. They get so filled with the Holy Spirit, their body can't handle it. They're staggering out. And they start preaching the gospel in different languages that they've never learned. 3,000 people get saved in a day, and then miracles break out among the disciples. They were so accustomed to the miraculous that when Paul got delivered out of prison, he came and knocked on his family's door, and they go, must be his angel. The normal occurrence here? We're talking about, you know, Elijah and Moses on the Mount of Transfiguration. Right? Glowing in the sky, hanging out with Jesus as witnesses to the lordship of Jesus Christ, right? And Peter's like, hey guys, let me build a tent. He's gonna hang out, make some breakfast, have a campfire. He's literally spawning the Mount of Transfiguration like an everyday event. We're talking about people coming and mocking and accusing Jesus, and disciples are like, wants to call down fire? We can do that. We're talking about the impossible and the supernatural were so prevalent that literally the level of expectation is that on command, I can call balls of fire out of heaven and consume my enemies. What have they been witnessing every single day of their life to get to that kind of confidence? It might need to be rebuked, but it's still there. What was going on? And then I look at the modern day church and I go, yeah, we saw somebody with a broken ankle get healed and walk, and people are like, when? And I go, yeah, someone got healed of stage 4 cancer and God's moving, and whoa. Well, sometimes things take that away. How do you know? We had a team lay hands on a girl with a lady with a breast lump that, well, they actually did a distance because it was, they're being appropriate. They prayed, and she was literally had 3 months to live. This is in the town of Salem, right? And they prayed for her, and the next day she goes back for her like overall just checkup that she always gets. She's got 3 months to live. She's got a death notice. It's all written through her body. And they pray for her, and the doctor goes, this doesn't make any sense. It's completely gone. Sends her to another doctor. It's completely gone. Sends her to another doctor. It's completely gone. Stage 4 cancer wiped out of her body, to the point where she calls the town office of Salem to tell them her story and to find the team of people that were praying for her, because it was a miracle, and she was sending letters to her whole family to let them know, I'm not going to die, I'm going to live. And it was Jesus that healed me. Listen. But here's the problem. When I tell that story, there's always caution in the wind, because what if there is, stretching of the story, right? What begins to go through our minds? My point is this. How did we get here? Because you and I, we all agreed that the Gospels are our standard. How did we get here? And I have to believe, that along the journey of the church, the brokenness of man, the fallen nature of mankind, the tension of believing in the impossible, the church often wavered. And faith could not coexist with the awareness of our lack, and something had to give, faith or disappointment. And when disappointment wins, we create beliefs about God that rob us from faith. We create beliefs, but let's not call them beliefs, because it says these signs will follow those who believe. How about we call them this? Excuses. We excuse God from his standard, and we create a buffer of thinking that gives him a scapegoat. And we have zero expectation, we have zero vision, zero hope that the gospel reality will ever return to its normal tenet of faith. Are we all right? The miraculous is a core essential theme of fundamental Christianity. And yet, if you eliminate the function and role of the Holy Spirit, all the church has become is a glorified YMCA with a reliance on programs and its eloquence. So here's the scary thing. When the church forgets who they are and they create a world that excuses God from being God, and they deny the power and the potential of power and possibility, what begins to happen is the church then leans in on humanistic methods to do supernatural things. And the reliance on humanistic means, the problem with that is then when humanistic means lead believers into the kingdom, then the foundation of their faith is in the behaviors of Christianity. Look at 2 Timothy 3:1. But mark this. This is what he says. Mark this. There will be terrible times in the last days. People will become lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents. I love that disobedient to their parents is mixed in with abusive and like lovers and boastful, and they don't listen to mom and dad. I'm going to teach my kids. As soon as they can really get it, I'm going to teach my kids. It's in the same line, guys. 10:31. There will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but what? Denying its power. And how many shells of an Acts church have we created? That's just a shell, and when you look in it, it's got the form of godliness, but no power. We've created this idea that miracles only happen in other countries, a special people with high callings, that they're seldom experienced events, right? But we easily slip into the patterns of disappointment that excuse the role of miracles in our walk with Jesus. That miracles are a form of special Christianity. But I'm here to say this, and my point is this, is that the supernatural is not a special form of Christianity. It is not a doctrinal argument for denominations. Let's get past that. This is not a marker for a denomination. This is not a bylaw in a group of people. This is not even a doctrinally arguable statement. I will go that far to say, but that miracles are normal Christianity. They are fundamental, foundational, and if you remove it, the church has nothing. Go to Hebrews chapter 6. I'm almost done. Almost done. You guys all right? This whole message is setting up for an in-person pie auction. Yeah, that's right. I don't know how, but I'm going to land this with a pie auction. It'd be masterful preaching. You'd be this whole thing, but raising the dead, casting out devils, signs, wonders, and miracles, prophecy. Let's take a pie auction. And it just makes sense. That would be like the best preaching ever. All right. Hebrews chapter 6. Therefore, leaving the discussion. I know that it sounds like beating the dead horse, but I want to get this laid out. Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ. Everyone say elementary. Leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ. Let us go on to perfection. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works, of faith towards God, of the doctrine of baptisms, of laying on of hands, and of the resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. This we will do if God permits. Literally wrapped into the elementary teachings of the early church, the laying on of hands and resurrection of the dead. And here's the thing. I just feel maxed out. I feel so tired of talking about former movements of Christianity that did miracles and failed. I'm sick and tired of talking about people that stretch the truth. I'm tired of talking about people that got the prophetic wrong. And I want to move on from talking about leaders who messed it up from their own personal ego and gain. We've had this conversation and we are stuck. I want to stop being obsessed with disappointment and past leaders and start being focused on advancing the gospel as described in the gospels. We keep talking about failure instead of casting vision for purity and integrity. Instead of being motivated saying, no, I want to go out to the supernatural and bring integrity to the supernatural again. Instead of making it a profound thing to point to me, I want to walk in the supernatural and I want to hide in the shadow of Jesus the whole time I'm walking in it. I want to bring integrity back to this thing because I don't have permission to splice the gospels and remove all of the signs, wonders, and miracles in order to see city transformation. I want to get off of the disappointment and get into the vision of it. And this is where I want to land. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4. And Paul said, my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstrations of the power of the Holy Spirit, that your faith would not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Irrefutably from Scripture, the Scriptures require the demonstration of the power of the Holy Spirit in partnership with the preaching of the gospel. Jesus modeled it, the church did it, but we forgot it. And the problem is that if our trust is in human behavior or Christian behavior, then our salvation will waver because of Christian failure. Say it one more time. If our faith is attached to Christian behavior, then our salvation will waver from Christian failure. Any belief in the gospel that is not backed by supernatural reliance is vulnerable to distrust. I've talked to hundreds of people that have walked away from their faith, that have decided that there are other avenues to salvation, or they don't believe in salvation at all. They've gone agnostic, atheist, or they have gone inclusionist. I've talked to all of them. I've heard all their stories. You know what I've only heard? Like maybe once. I can't even remember ever hearing, but just for the sake of the conversation, maybe once. I don't ever hear anybody say, I am leaving because God was not God. I haven't heard it. I haven't heard people say, I'm leaving the faith because God wasn't good enough. God didn't perform. God didn't respond. You know why? Every single person that I have ever talked to is deconstructing their faith. You know what they've always said? I am disgusted by the behavior of the church and I don't want to be a part of it anymore. And they actually put their salvation on the line because of their disappointment in Christians, not in Jesus. Why? Because their foundation was found in reliance on Christian behavior reflecting God. And because that's all their trust and faith was in, when that fell, they had nothing to stand on anymore. And if the Christians around me can't do it, then God must not be real. They had no reliance on the power of the Holy Spirit to operate in their life. And let me get back to the first thing I said. I am longing to see a generation that falls in love with Jesus and never walks away. And if we're going to see that and the longevity of faith return to the church, then there needs to become irrefutable evidence of the presence of God in a church that walks in the demonstrations of the power of the Holy Spirit, that shuts down every argument, that shuts down every idea that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. We need a power to return to the church, and for a church that adopts the belief that signs, wonders, and miracles are the normal tenet attached to our gospel faith. I'll end with this, is that in Hebrews 11:1, it says that faith is the substance of things that we hope for, the evidence of things that we do not see, and by it the elders obtained a good testimony. And then it says, and the things that we now see are the things that that were not built by things that are visible. Saying is that there is a place of faith that's rooted in a belief system. There's a belief system inside of me that provokes me to add substance to my faith, and it becomes the evidence of an unseen world, which means I can reach into the invisible and I can pull in a new reality into the visible, and I can construct something out of nothing because my faith has access to unseen places. And it's all rooted in a posture and a position of understanding, expectation, and belief that I have become persuaded, which means I put to death every lie, every disappointment, every inner healing issue that has ever stopped me from believing that God is capable, able, and willing. I'm not saying I'm perfect, but I do know this. I'm relying on a God who is, and there's nothing between me and him that's causing me to second guess his nature and his ability. I don't have 3 points. Here's how you do signs and wonders. Here's how you get words of knowledge. Here's how you raise the dead. This is all I want to say is that God is inviting us to do war on the internal places of our mind and our thoughts that have actually gotten hung up on disappointment, and signs and wonders and miracles I've been invited to is over here, and I'm over here because I'm so disappointed with man and Christian failure that I'm losing my faith. Are we all right? The only reason why this feels like an overemphasis of signs, wonders, and miracles is because of how far we moved we are from the normalcy of it. Any church that goes, hey, we're going to go after raising the dead right now. Hey, we're going to go with cancer, and we're going to start declaring a cancer-free zone in Oakland, Maine. Right? And we're going to be a church that's going to go, yo, we're going to cast out some devils, and if you've got sickness, we're going to invite you to come lay hands on you. If I put up a COVID-19 drive-through prayer time, you guys would like not come back. And listen, that should be a self-rebuke in itself, because it says that those who believe these signs will follow, they will handle deadly things and not be harmed by them. They will cleanse lepers, and they will heal the sick, and they will raise the dead, and they will cast out devils. And we've gotten so far removed that I probably sound like a zealot for preaching it. What a group of Pentecostals. How did we get here? Oh man, they're just part of that Bethel group. They're just... Listen, this isn't me being edgy. Don't misunderstand me. It's me provoking us, saying, let's hear the absurdity of how far removed we've gotten from the very foundations of the gospel. That we've made it denominational. That we question everything. We wonder the integrity behind every single thing. It cannot be this way. It's time for a church that gets back to its ancient roots and looks back and goes, no, actually, this is the church in its identity. These are believers in their identity. We don't need capital P's in titles and pastors and prophets and call her, she's got faith for healing. And no, that's where it gets weird. We need to make it normal again, where we're every day going, hey, man, that person said they were sick and I didn't offer to pray for them. Oh, God. Why didn't I do that? I'm not even thinking of it. God, help me not be so far removed from your miracle working power. Man, fear came up in me when I, God, keep doing the work because I want to put a demand on heaven that this would become the normal in my life. It's the subtleties of like, I got this nudge. I don't know what it means, but I'm just going to act on it and practice like God's speaking to me and like text that person and say, how are you? And see what he does. Why? Because I believe God wants to speak to me, and I've got to be simple with my faith. And I got to just start doing it and just start activating. And if I get it wrong, it's okay, because it didn't reflect me anyways. I'm just trying to be who God's called me to be. I want this thing to be normal. I want Kristen's, I want to be known that, like, hey, call those guys at KLC. Someone's in their deathbed. They just keep talking about it. Like, listen, call those guys. Would we be the weird church if we started a dead raising team? Why? Why would that be weird? Are you guys hearing what I'm saying? I know I'm being silly and stuff, but maybe we will start a dead raising team. I don't care. My point is this, I want to stir you guys to break the stigma off of some sort of like weird thing that's tried to be put on people that are just trying to believe the Bible. Leonard Ravenhill said, one of these days, someone's going to read the Bible, believe it, and the rest of us will be embarrassed. And that's the kind of simplicity we've got to get back to. Stand with me.